Good evening, church. Glad you all be with us on our Wednesday night service. And we're going to be running live tonight on Facebook. And for those who will see it pop up on our phone, we welcome you too. We missed Sunday and we had some technical problems. So hopefully we're going to run it tonight to make sure we get all the bugs worked out of it. So anyways, let's all stand and sing a song to the Lord. We're going to sing a cappella tonight, number 330, Amazing Grace. Page 330. Everyone gets there, say amen. Okay. Everybody ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Brother Keith, would you open us up in a word of prayer tonight? Amen. Good evening, everybody. I pray you've had a blessed week. And tonight, we're, Lord willing, going to finish up 1 Thessalonians, try to get through it. But we didn't have our prayer meeting yet. Yes, ma'am. So it ain't you. It ain't you. Anybody else got an announcement or a word of praise, anything? Yes, ma'am.
I am so thankful the Lord has spared all my family.
Amen. Hey, that was a bad looking. And it showed that. That night. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it showed some of those housing developments. That must have been a wide tornado, is all I can say. That it just did it. Had they. Last I heard, it was 24, I think, that had passed away. Did we get up underneath all the debris? Amen. And a lot of young ones, I think, was killed too. Under 13, is what I heard this morning. Anyone else with a word of praise, word of testimony? We missed you. Hey, amen. If you think, I said this last week and I'll say it again, if you think you got something, you stay at the house and be sure with it. Now, me and Brother Keith, we sprayed down every pew today with Lysol and did all the choir too. So, but I'm going to try to find non-scented. We had linen scent. I was worried about it getting out of here before church started. But praise God, it did. Also, thank the Lord, if you look over in the corners, both corners, you see that we now have video cameras, two more video cameras that capture the whole congregation. And we can get real fancy with our Facebook now. We can get from all angles. Anyone else got a word of praise, word of testimony? Amen. Amen.
Somebody came up running me. She got out of the car and she came running me out of the load. And she's so happy with me, okay? She can still it. I mean, I ain't calling nothing. But you don't let it out loose, she goes.
Kindness sticks out in today's society. If you'll just speak a word of kindness or help somebody, it'll be remembered. They'll remind you. In the way of prayer needs, sister, do you mind reading our things in a little bit after we go through our regular prayer? Because we didn't get to call them out. We can just call out first names if you'd be okay with that. We do want to pray for those that are sin, sick, and lost. That's the most important, that don't know Christ Jesus. And those that are backslidden and wandering. Marriages, and we're still in depression season, but praise God it's felt nice the past couple of days. Yesterday looked like springtime. It was so beautiful. We want to continue to pray for the Tammy Eads family, the Virgie Arrington family, and then also Lloyd Bushing. He passed away Monday morning. That's Brother Robert Chapman's daddy. And it was in Arizona. And I think Brother Roberts had to come on back in. Not sure that he was able to be a part of it. But then we also want to continue to pray for Sister Karina and baby Luna. Everything's doing good so far. Praise the Lord for that. Sister Rhonda Smith, Sister Peggy DeBoard, Bobby Fuller, Miss Moselle, Brother Jay, and Sister Ruby. Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Kent Smith, Eliza Fletcher, Henrietta Roach. How's your mama doing, Brother Ken? She ain't. Continue to pray for her. Bobby and June Jesse, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Mike Carter, I've done called her Eliza Fletcher. I got a double. Nellie Hawkins, Linda Jackson, John, and was it Carmine Shoup that was called out last week? Carmen Shoup. And Ryan Luke, that's Brother Alan Bowen's friend that's been diagnosed with the cancer. Young boy, right, around 11. Yeah. They want to continue to pray for him. The situation with the little Evelyn Boswell, I ain't kept up with it, but it don't sound good. Also, the coronavirus and the politicians and everything that's going on with that. Danny Smith, Alma Bowen, Lottie Johnson, Bethel Colony for Men. Renee Chester, she's been diagnosed with the flu. So I want to pray for her and Brother David. And then Maddie and Talmadge are at the house. They come in with an upset stomach tonight, so I told Amy to keep them at the house. Elizabeth, you know Sister Lillian's sister that's had the issue with the brain. Is it? Okay. Sister-in-law. I want to remember her. And any other prayer needs tonight? Anyone? Y'all being quiet. Praise the Lord. And your daddy's in Charlottesville, ain't he? Is he? Yeah, this was the big deal. This was supposed to, the big one. Anyone else tonight? No news is good news. That's the way we'll take it right now. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else? That breaks your heart. All right. At this time, we'll go to the Lord and lift up these prayer needs, but I'm going to invite you to the altar tonight if you feel led to pray. I'm going to ask Sister Donna if she would just to read through the names of those that we have on our prayer list, the first names, and probably how many we have on there. It's over 100, isn't it? It's well over 100, but we are seeing people saved from it. Also, pray for Brother Jeff and Sister Amy, they're down in Florida. They're traveling, so we want to continue to pray for them. But after Sister Donna calls these out, I'll lead us in a word of prayer. All righty.
Not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to Lord, in unity we come together, Lord, knowing, God, that you hear our prayers, and we're thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you have not only welcomed us into your presence, but God, you've commanded us to come into your presence as your children. And so, God, tonight I just confess to you my sinfulness, Heaven, and my weakness, Lord, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And most importantly tonight, God, we do pray for those whose souls are in danger of hellfire, knowing that no one comes unless you call them, Heavenly Father, Lord. And so we ask you right now, God, that you extend one more call that they might come. God, we pray for these other needs that are on our list, such as the Lord Bushing family, God, knowing the loss and learning how to live in a new situation. God, we thank you for Baby Luna and Sister Corinne and a good report on them, God, others like Sister Elizabeth, Sister Lily, and sister-in-law. God, we ask you to be with them, the family, the Burchett family, as it breaks our heart, Lord, to hear that they lost that three-year-old, but also, Lord, that you have kept family members safe, Heavenly Father. We give you praise and glory in that. God, we pray for those that are sick, as we think of Sister Renee. God, we think of the coronavirus, Lord, we just pray, as well as the flu tonight, God, we just pray that you would protect our country, Heavenly Lord, and keep your hand of protection over us, Lord, and that we might glorify you. We pray for our government, all that's going on there. But Lord, it's in your name that we ask all these things, and we give you the glory, honor, and praise. Amen and amen.
All righty. Lord willing, we'll try to get through the fullness of chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, both 1 and 2 Thessalonians is kind of an upper, you know, it's kind of builds you up, and you see a church that's completely opposite of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians seems to have a whole lot of problems, a whole lot of division going on, and Paul's basically having to straighten them out and call them out on issues that's going on within the church. But here in Thessalonians, it's basically the church is growing, it's flourishing. Now, if you remember, it was not easy when it was started. If you remember, they were run out of town by the Jewish leadership, and it says that they basically rounded up a mob, and so they went to Berea, and the Thessalonians, the leadership there, followed them to Berea, and then Paul got on a boat and went to Athens. And so it's in that the church is growing and functioning. So tonight we're going to begin in verse 5, and we'll read through the rest of the chapter. All righty. Are you there? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, who delivered us from the wrath to come. May God add the blessings to his word. But as we began last week, we basically looked at some characteristics in a church that is alive and flourishing. If you remember, I talked about a church alive is worth a drive. And when you see these things, if we're going to be a church that is flourishing and doing and growing for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have at least some of these characteristics in our church. And as we began, we saw that there were committed and faithful leaders in the church at Thessalonica. Out of all of Paul's writings, 1 and 2 Thessalonians are the only one where three people basically said hello and we're concerned for you. And if you remember, when Paul left out and went to Athens, Timothy and Silas were left behind, and knowing that things weren't easy for them. And then even afterwards, when Paul had Timothy come to him, they said when they could no longer stand it, that he had to send someone back, and that was Timothy that went back there. So the same is true in any position in the church, whether it be pastor, deacon, WOM, Sunday school, the leadership. If we want to see our leaders, our programs grow, there has to be a genuine concern and a love for that class. And then as we moved on, we saw there was a committed and concern within the people. It's been said to me that basically the church takes on the characteristics of those that are leading it. And here it says in verse 1, to the church of Thessalonica. And so it takes individual people that are given to their new life in Christ Jesus, committed to him and to his work, that are willing and selfless, that are willing and to work and selfless together. And then we see that there's proper motives within the church. We recall in the presence of God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by our Lord Jesus Christ. There's three things that we see was happening within the church. And the first one is that there was a work of faith because they believed that Jesus loved them unconditionally, that he died for our sins, he rose for our salvation, he has a plan and a purpose in our life. But then also knowing that we're going to be judged for the way that we serve him, they were working or they were motivated to do something because of the living faith that dwelled within them. And then there's a labor of love. Now, if you look at labor and work, they're very, very similar. But when you look at the Greek definition of the word labor here, it means to strive almost to a point of breaking a sweat. Now, usually when you have to break a sweat, it's not fun work, but it's a needful work. And we see that the membership there at Thessalonica were willing to toil and recognize the because of the great burden that Jesus Christ took on himself. We know Jesus, when he was in the garden, sweat drops of blood, and he prayed, if it be your will, let this pass from me, but if not, I'll follow through. And so we see that for us, he was willing to be labored upon, that he had the burden placed upon him. And so we see at Thessalonica, in a church that's growing, that they had the work of faith, the living faith drove them to do something because they recognized what Jesus had did. They were willing to labor or go to the point that it took more than just what you might be willing to do. They were to go over and then enduring through hope. This is the ability to stand and to continue in the face of hardships. And we know that it was founded in persecution, that it wasn't easy. In my mind, I think about when they had to leave out of Thessalonica, the pressure that was being put on the new converts such as Jason by the Jewish leadership and maybe some other type of false religion, saying, we'll let you come on back and be a part of us, but if you don't, we're going to make life hard on you. We know that they would use, like in the marketplace, in the square, if you weren't a part of their group, they would raise prices on you or may not let you buy anything at all. So it was probably a lot of pressure put on them, but they were willing to press on because they recognized the worth of Jesus Christ and that he was a keeper of his promises, that he was coming back. And then lastly, all this was evidence that of their salvation in Christ Jesus. Knowing, brethren, verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. This was proof, the work of faith, the labor of love, the endurance and hope, all of that was evidence that they were truly saved, that it just wasn't a mouth thing or a profession but they put their money where their mouth is, basically. And they proved who they were. Remember, the Bible says, show me in James, show me your faith in your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so we're not saved by the works, but if we have the true faith in us, if the Holy Spirit's living in us, then it will produce works as evidence. And then so tonight we're going to continue on and look at some more characteristics, but I'm going to read it out of the Christian Standard before we get into it. Because our gospel did not come to you in word alone, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full assurance. You know how we lived among you for your benefit, And you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord when, in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord rang out from among you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. For they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from coming wrath. And so as we move on, we looked at four things last week, and I'm just going to pick up with number five as we move on through this chapter. And first off, we see the presence of God was in that church through the word and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Look there in verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." I've said this before, and I think we need to be very guarded and very careful that we do not quench the power and the person of the Holy Spirit within our church, because it's through him that we have the move of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that we can do to make him show up. It is by his grace and mercy that he comes in and moves in our church. And so, and when you have the power of the Holy Spirit that moves with the Word, now the Word of God is powerful by itself, but the power of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God brings salvation. Note that Paul says, "Our gospel did not come to you in word alone." Many times the Bible tells us that that sometimes the hearing only goes basically to the ear. It never gets into the brain. It never gets into the heart. If you read in Mark chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes you do not see, and having ears you do not hear, and do you not remember?" I call them head nodders. Basically, they agree with what you say, but it doesn't affect our lives when we leave. The Bible talks about how we're like people looking in a mirror and beholding there's some mistakes or there's some issues, but when we walk away, we don't address the mistakes that we see in our life. But here in Thessalonica, the people were hungry for the word. They were allowing the Holy Spirit within them to receive the word of God and then to let the Holy Spirit live their life for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verses 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now, on my ID channel, I hear that all the time, how that the truth will set you free. But it's not just the knowledge of the truth. I mean, you can know a lot of stuff, but you've got to walk in the wisdom of the truth, meaning the application of the truth. And by doing that, it will cause you to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and to live in victory. Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14 says, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Once again, this gives proof of their assurance. And it came with assurance that when they were willing to receive the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit and live out the truth in their lives, that's evidence of their salvation. Just like the labor of love, the work of faith, labor of love, and endurance of hope in the Holy Spirit. And so the presence of the Word of God and the power of His Holy Spirit within the Word helped make it a church that was growing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Before we move on, is there any thoughts on that? You're being very quiet tonight. Okay, the next one, the verse 5 again, the latter part of it. "You know how we lived among you for your benefit." That in this church, the leadership practiced what they preached. The leadership practiced what they preached. The first thing that's clearly seen is in the church of Thessalonica, Paul, Silas, or Timothy didn't preach one thing and then go out and live another thing, but it says, you know what kind of man we were among you. And the reason we live that way is because we wanted you to grow in Christ Jesus. We wanted to lay out a pattern that you could follow and be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my desires that we have here at Thomas Village is if a person gets saved and they, for the first time, they come into church on a Sunday morning, that they can take what they see in this church at home and have a time of worship and praise. That there's a time of fellowship and singing. Then there's a time of lifting up prayer requests and talking about the needs in our church. And then we go focus on the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And if someone can take that into their home, then praise the Lord. But Paul completely showed that his life was surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived, moved, and basically had his being or his existence in Christ Jesus. He was identified by Christ Jesus. Paul prayed and studied the Word. He lived a clean and pure life in accordance to righteousness. And he told others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was a pattern to the people there at Thessalonica. Luke chapter 9 verse 22 says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. And that's what Paul did. Paul left everything. He left all of his titles and all of his beneficial parts that he had there in Judaism so that he could serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he left his name. He gave up his old name so that he could be identified as a new person in Christ Jesus. So we have the fact that the Word of God was received in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we see that the leadership practiced what they preached. Any thoughts on this before we go to the next one? I'm trying to be a better teacher. I know I talk a lot. All right, the next one that we see is, let me get over there, that we see not only did the leadership practice what they preached, but the membership practiced what was preached. 1 Thessalonians verse 6 and 7, it says, and you yourselves became imitators of us and of the Lord when in spite of severe persecution, you welcomed the message with joy from the Holy Spirit. So the individuals in the church took their cues from the leadership in the church, and the rank and file, those that were the everyday members, they practiced what was put out in the church. Remember, we talked about how there's head nodders, there's those that are there, and they would agree with the precept that might be taught. But the actual living out of the situation, that's a different story, you know. And these men and women said, we're not just going to be those that look in a mirror and be hearers of the word, not doers. They said, we're going to live out what Christ has done for us. We're going to let the power of the Holy Spirit enable us to be everything that God has called us to be. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man was he. They're not letting the word of God be the inspect them. And they're not letting it be the standard by which they live their life. They're basically saying that we're going to shape Jesus into who we want him to be instead of us changing to be in the image of Jesus Christ. I've said this before and I'll say it again. There's many so-called Christian denominations today that have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but what they've done is they've made an image of themselves and then put the stamp of Jesus on it. The idea that he's just a loving God and he receives whoever, and you can live whatever lifestyle you want to live as long as you confess it. No, the Bible says that when he comes, right there in verse 10, he's coming in wrath. That is the judgment of God upon sin. And when he does that, it'll be on those that have deceived themselves, is what it says in the book of James. These men and women here at Thessalonica chose to follow the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same thing Paul had told to the people at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He said, "Be ye imitators of me, as I am an imitator of Christ." He said, "I'm living out a pattern for you. If you'll just apply the pattern that I'm living, that I have lived after Christ, the pattern, that the example that Christ has given me, then you'll live a life that is worthy unto the Lord." So we see that Paul's not preaching a different set of doctrines from church to church. It's the same teaching, the same truth, the power of living by faith through the person of the Holy Spirit. This was not done, and we've got to remember, it wasn't easy. Remember, they were in great persecution. But once again, notice, he said that you were followers of us in much affliction, but you did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Submission to the person of the Holy Spirit, letting him live our life, let the life of Christ through us on a daily basis. You know, when the idea of putting on the armor of the Lord, that's a submission to the power of the Holy Spirit, that we're saying, "Lord, I want you to live through me today. I don't want to base it on how I feel. I don't want to base my life on the emotions that I have up and down, but I want the truth of the Holy Spirit to be the guide for how I live my life." And then the standard of God's Word, that this is the measuring rod that we measure up our life to, that we're not head nodders, but that we're doers of the Word. 1 Peter, in any time the Holy Spirit is at work, we know that the power of God is in place. And numerous times we're told and shown the work of the Holy Spirit, and that when we're doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, the world and Satan's going to come against us. If you watch much of TBN, and now there's a whole bunch of them that's on the preaching name it and claim it type stuff, that get saved, accept Jesus Christ in your life, and everything will be hunky-dory. But if problems come in it, then you're probably doing something wrong. But that's completely against the teaching of the Bible. When you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can expect persecution. We can expect hardship. Listen to what 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you, to test you as though something strange were happening to you." He's saying there, don't think it's strange when you have these persecutions, because this is a part of the trying. This is part of the proof. Remember, the work of faith, the labor of love, the endurance, standing up in the midst of hard times. All of this is evidence of the being called and chosen by Christ Jesus. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 goes on and it says, "But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." And then in Philippians chapter 9, Philippians don't have nine chapters. This is good. Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead." So he's saying, yes, you will be a part of the power of his resurrection, and you'll be given that new life. But at the same time, know that if you are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he say? They hated me. And if you live for me, then they're going to hate you as well. So we see that the power of the Holy Spirit was moving with the truth of God's Word. We see that the leadership was practicing what they preached. They were putting their money where their mouth is. And then, not only that, but the membership was practicing what was preached in the church there at Thessalonica. And you see how it's completely different from Corinthians. It's completely different. If I was going to name a church out of something in the Bible, it would probably be Thessalonica and not Corinthians because of the connotation that's there. So any thoughts on the idea of the leadership practicing what was preached or the membership? Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. If you go, basically, you go straight up, straight north, and you'll be there. I had the mileage, but the mileage is not very much. Just the difference of people. And probably, now, Thessalonica was a port city. You know, it was based on trade. It had a lot of, remember, it loved the gladiator games, and it also had circus. But I don't think it was as big as a port city as Corinth was. And Corinth was basically overrun with false gods and false idols. But probably what it is the submission to the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is the big difference there. When you see it, that when they went to Berea, and when they left Thessalonica and went to Berea, which is not far, Berea accepted it full, and they didn't have a problem with the leadership with Paul, Silas, and Timothy, until the mob of Jewish leadership from the synagogue and the Bible basically said they were crooks and criminals that they rounded up and brought them to Berea, and only then did they get upset. So I don't know. Why can you have one church in one in the county that seems to be growing and another one that seems not to be doing anything for the Lord? And it has to be the power of the Word and the person of the Holy Spirit, the submission there. Well, it has to be that, but people are different, you know. Anything else? Does that answer the question? Amen. You can say when you're growing for the Lord, the devil comes completely against you. Just thinking about some of the stuff y'all went through the last year and a half. But praise God, you're still pressing on the endurance of hope in Christ Jesus. Anyone else? From Corinth, yep. Amen, yep. It was, and basically they believed that they were made right by the works of the law, as it said over there in, was it 1 Peter? I think it was. But the righteousness that comes by faith in Christ Jesus and not by the works of the law. But can you imagine what he was thinking there when he was in Corinth and seeing what was going on there at the time? And remember, he basically had to go through why the Corinth should trust him and why they should have confidence in him. And then as he's writing to Thessalonica, how thankful he is for the church growing in the Lord. Anyone else? All right. Number 8, there was a lasting testimony and a lasting witness in the church. Notice in verses 7 through 9. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. for the word of the Lord rang out from among you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place that your faith in God has gone out. For they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The truth of God's power moving within his people will go forth. And that is the testimony and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ within the church. Notice it says, the faith of the people was spread abroad. The work of God's work, the moving of the Holy Spirit, the submission of the Holy Spirit that they had, and living, letting Christ live through them, that it was told everywhere, not only at Macedonia but in Achaia, but all over the place or all over that region, especially right there in that little port. There's a little nook that they're set up in, almost like three knuckles, that's there on the Black Sea, I believe. I'm not sure about the name, but it was telling what God had done. And that they got saved, that they turned away from their idols. They turned away from their traditions. They turned away probably from what they had been taught, willing to turn to the truth. And that's what, when we see the Jewish leadership go against them, that they were saying, no, you don't leave what you've been taught. But they were saying, yes, we'll go away from it and we'll live for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember what we discussed Sunday morning when we asked the question, am I a disciple maker? That within today's professed Christian, there seems to be a clear disconnect between our professed spirituality and our daily life. That we'll compartmentalize it. That when we're out in the world, we'll try to just be regular average Joe or regular average Jane. And then Sundays and Wednesday nights, maybe that we'll live for the Lord. But it should be a part of who we are. Whether we're a blue collar or white collar worker, we have been made new in Christ Jesus. And our identity has to be found in Him and Him alone. And we need to have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And talk of who He is and what He's done for us should just be in our regular conversations. We need to be able to say how He has answered our prayers. We need to be able to say how He has spoke to us through His Word. We need to be able to, when we see things in people's life and they're talking to us, we ought to be able to be knowledgeable of the Scripture and be able to speak the Scripture over them and blessings over them. And then just to be amazed at how much He loves us and how much He has sacrificed for us. Every day as believers, we should say that God is working in our life. And the Bible says that He is able to deliver us through everything. So He is active. Jesus Christ is active in our life every day through the person of the Holy Spirit. As long as we open up our eyes, then that as a child of God, we know that He's working. And the closer we draw to Him, the more evident the blessings are in our life. And benefits, even if it's small things, even if it's Him. I remember Brother Tommy talking about when they were going to the hospital with Sister Wanda, that the lights were green, how everyone was set up when he was going down the road. And he gave God praise for that. Something small, but how he saw God's hand in it. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised abroad that he, meaning Jesus, was in the house. That when Christ is working through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is being adhered to, then there'll be a testimony and a witness of what God is doing in the church. All righty, any thoughts about that? All right, and lastly, they were living within the promises of Christ Jesus. Notice there in verse 10, and they're waiting for His Son from heaven, who has raised us from the dead, Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Notice specifically there the word waiting. In the Greek, it is anameno, A-N-A-M-E-N-O, meaning to expect. That they're looking with expectation. They're waiting with that something's about to happen. And we all love Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They should walk and not grow faint. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word is, I think it's kuva, Q-U-V-A-H, which means to eagerly expect. But the idea of waiting is not simply just fiddling your thumbs together and saying, okay, anytime now, I'm looking forward to it. But it's the idea of laboring. Remember, we can go back to the work of faith, labor of hope, or labor of love, and the endurance and hope, that they were pressing on and doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but think about President Trump, and he says the do-nothing Democrats, and then they say the do-nothing Republicans. These were not do-nothing believers. They were workers. They were involved. They were active and on the offensive in their efforts to grow the kingdom of God. Meaning they weren't waiting on the attack, but they were pushing forward in spite of the attack, because Christ Jesus could come any day. And as we look around us and we see all the signs that, praise God, it could be any day that we could be raptured out and taken from this place. The very one that has rescued us from the wrath of God. When you look up the word wrath, it is God's releasing of fury upon sin as a judgment. And that's a scary thought, that the Creator and the most powerful and true and living God is going to unleash His wrath, His anger on sin. And the idea is like a cup. He'll crush the cup because of what holds inside of it, of the sin, and whatever else is tied to that cup is going to be destroyed. And so we see that there is the power in a church where there's a lively and fruitful growing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the word is received in the power of the Holy Spirit. The leadership not only preaches it, but they live the life that God has called. The congregation also receives the word of God and lives it. And then in that, there is a testimony and a witness that goes abroad. And then lastly, we live in the promises of Jesus Christ, knowing that He is one that cannot lie. All right, any perfect, look at there, 2 minutes till, right on the money. Any thoughts before we go? Praise God, we've already made it through a chapter. I think it took us a month to get through one chapter in the book of Romans. Any other questions or thoughts about the scripture? Now, next week, we're kind of going to see the heart of a pastor, and when Paul begins to talk about his love for him. And again, like Brother Paul said, that he's there in Corinth and the issues that's going on there. Anything else before we go? Any prayer needs that might have been forgotten? Excuse me. All right, if you're ready, let's stand. And Brother John Franklin, would you close us out in a word of prayer? Amen. God bless y'all. Lord willing, if I don't see you before, I'll see you Sunday.